It was arguably the most beautiful and valuable artwork the world has ever known. And yet it vanished without a trace during World War II, never to resurface, even in all the decades since. The Amber Room was an entire palatial room made of gold and amber gemstones of inestimable value. But today, its ultimate fate lies hidden in a mix of real history, false history, and international politics. The true fate of the Amber Room is coming up right now on Skeptoid. Head on over to skeptoid.com/store and explore the Skeptoid store where curiosity meets cool. We have books, socks, shirts, hoodies, and more. Check out our slick new Bigfoot design, where the mystery of this legendary cryptid never looked so good. And while you're here, don't forget to grab a Skeptoid USB drive, your portal to all episodes and all our movies, now including the UFO movie They Don't Want You to See. That's not all we have planned. We have a lineup of way more cool stuff coming soon. So head on over, skeptoid.com/store, and snag your swag. This episode is sponsored in part by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You're listening to Skeptoid. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com. The true fate of the Amber Room. Occasionally on Skeptoid, we examine popular myths about stupendous treasures and all the efforts to find them. And in most of these cases, the truth is that the treasure probably, or certainly, never existed. But of all of these, one treasure most assuredly did exist. The fabulous Amber Room, a room in which the very walls themselves were the treasure, and which stood in a Russian palace for hundreds of years. A peerless artwork worth countless millions of dollars, the Amber Room disappeared in World War II, and treasure hunters have been looking for it ever since. Today we're going to learn its actual fate, but be forewarned, the answer is not nearly so straightforward as you might have heard. The room was covered in ornate gilded panels that glowed bright with gold and amber, bright gems of fossilized tree sap with a rich yellow-red color. The amber was backed with gold leaf and mirrors and cut and fit into beautiful patterns. It was a dazzle to look at. By any reasonable estimate, the Amber Room was worth hundreds of millions of dollars in today's money, right up there with history's most valuable works of art. Any surviving single panel, if found, would certainly match an undiscovered Da Vinci or Picasso masterpiece. The historical origins of the Amber Room are well known and are not controversial. Its construction began in 1701 for Charlottenburg Palace in Berlin, then part of Prussia. But when the 10-year project was completed, it was installed instead in the nearby Berlin City Palace. When Peter the Great visited in 1716, he admired it so much that King Frederick William I gifted it to him as part of cementing their alliance. Peter had it installed at Catherine Palace, south of St. Petersburg, where it was expanded, eventually including over 6 tons of amber. It is not hyperbole to say that it was the most beautiful and breathtaking room ever built. And there the Amber Room sat for more than 2 centuries, the pride of the Russian Empire and then of the Soviet Union. But trouble was afoot. In 1941, the Nazis invaded the Soviet Union. The Soviets evacuated all the art treasures they could, millions of artifacts from the Hermitage and various palaces. But the Amber Room itself proved too brittle to be safely disassembled. Anatoly Kuchumov, a young Russian curator, wrote that everything they tried to remove broke. The best they could do was to hastily build false walls over the amber panels to hide them. But when the Nazis arrived, they knew exactly what they were looking for and where to find it. They pried it in pieces from the walls and packed it into crates and sent it to Königsberg, then part of Nazi Germany, and today Kaliningrad in Russia. For the Germans, this was a homecoming of what they saw as their greatest work of art. It was placed into the charge of Alfred Rode of the Königsberg Castle Museum, who had it painstakingly reconstructed and eventually made available for public display. But the end of the Amber Room was nigh. Königsberg was safe for most of the war, but eventually it fell to British bombing attacks and to the artillery of the advancing Red Army. Königsberg Castle was razed. What had happened to the Amber Room? Theories have raged ever since, as it's known that the Nazi Cultural Property Appropriation Task Force, Einsatzstab-Reichsleiter Rosenberg, was in charge of preserving the room. Many believe it was packed into crates and moved before the Red Army got to Königsberg. Some believe it was put on a ship, which sank. Some believe it was moved to storage in mine shafts. Some believe it still hides in an unknown warehouse. Even the History Channel has gotten into the game with their show Expedition Unknown, searching creepy undergrounds as a promotion of some of the crazier claims. Most likely, treasure hunters throughout Europe will continue to pursue the Amber Room. And as it turns out, they've been given a compelling reason to do so. This reason came to light in 2004 when investigative journalists Kathy Scott Clark and Adrian Levy published their magnum opus book, The Amber Room, The Fate of the World's Greatest Lost Treasure. For years, they'd interviewed every living person who had played any significant role in the Amber Room's final years who would talk to them, including former intelligence officers, German and Russian government officials, former military, and curators. What they found was, all too expected, a contradictory mess of Cold War propaganda, stone walls, cover stories, and a lack of cooperation. One clear image emerged. Scott Clark and Levy wrote,
"It became clear that the Soviet Union, while wanting to be seen to search for the Amber Room, was also determined that nothing should be found."
The reason for this? The Soviets knew the Amber Room had been destroyed by their own troops in their own invasion of Königsberg, and yet its specter remains an important pawn in the post-war game of reparations. To quote Scott Levy and Clark,
"Even today, the myth of the missing Amber Room serves the Russian government well. It continues to hold on to 1.6 million artworks looted from Germany during the Second World War. Whenever the issue of restitution is raised by Germany, so is the missing Amber Room."
But the need to cover up the destruction was even more personal for Kuchumov himself. After the war's end, he was among the academics who picked through the ruins of Königsberg and found ample proof that it burned then and there. Perhaps Scott Levy and Clark's most important discovery was Kuchumov's archives, who had since died, but he left boxes and boxes of documentation, which tell a poignant story of inner conflict, a game of discovery and suppression.
Are you ready to take your Skeptoid experience to the next level? Head on over to skeptoid.com/gopremium to become a proud member and unlock a world of exclusive benefits. Picture this: ad-free listening and extended versions of every new episode, diving deep into the mysteries and real truth without interruption. Take this opportunity to elevate your journey and join the Skeptoid community today. Skeptoid.com/gopremium.
Kuchumov had already seen some of his former museum colleagues sent to gulags for failing to protect treasures from the Nazis. And Kuchumov's own failing was by far the greatest of all, his farcical false wall to conceal the room in 1941. Thus, the rest of Kuchumov's career, which he spent in charge of a special commission to locate the Amber Room, was a lie. From 1967 to 1984, he headed the Kaliningrad Geological Archaeological Expedition, codenamed the Coral Society, to not find the Amber Room, but to keep alive hope that it was still out there somewhere to be found, stolen by the Germans. He even wrote a 1989 book, The Amber Room, that remains the most popular source feeding the alternative histories, in which he said, in direct opposition to what he knew to be true,
"The Amber Room did not die. There are many secret places that we still have not discovered left by the Nazis in the territories of Germany, Austria, and other countries. It's only a question of time before it is found."
Thus, were the urban legends kept alive, the hopes of amateur treasure hunters everywhere kept high, and Kuchumov's personal demons kept at bay. In 1945, the Nazis, knowing their end was near, did indeed disassemble the Amber Room and pack it into crates, ready to evacuate it to Saxony. But it was too late, and the crates remained in a room of the castle called the Knight's Hall, in the small part of the castle that had survived the bombing and artillery, even as the Nazis surrendered. Soon, celebrating Russian soldiers danced as they torched what was left of Königsberg Castle, and it burned to the ground. Amber burns like firewood. The manager of a restaurant inside the castle, Paul Feyer Abend, was extensively debriefed by Soviet officers and confirmed the crate's contents and location. Kuchumov had already read of Faya Abent's testimony and also the report of Professor Alexander Bryusov, who was sent into the wreckage of the Knight's Hall and recovered copper hinges and other artifacts identified as having been part of the Amber Room. Kuchumov even interviewed Faya Abent himself and also recovered three of four Florentine stone mosaics, the only parts of the Amber Room that hadn't been flammable, from the Knight's Hall. Charred remains in hand. The proof was absolute, and Bryusov filed a report stating the fact. But 33 years later, in 1978, a German man, Hans Achtermann, was watching a television documentary about the Amber Room when up popped a picture of the fourth stone mosaic, which he recognized because it was sitting in his parents' attic. His father had been among the Wehrmacht soldiers who dismantled the Amber Room in Catherine Palace in 1941 and had stolen it. Then in 2000, after his father had passed away, Achtermann thought he might be able to make some money off the mosaic and contacted Professor Wolfgang Eichwede, who mediated the return of war artifacts between Germany and Russia. The mosaic was indeed legit. It was the one missing when Kuchumov had found the other three in the debris at Königsberg in 1946. And photos confirm this one was missing while the room had been on display there. The discovery of the mosaic ignited a new firestorm of conspiracy theories and wild claims that the room still existed, packed away somewhere. A few other pieces, including a chest of drawers that had been part of the original room, came to light during this time. Together, these relics constitute further fuel for the fire that guarantee the treasure hunters will always have sufficient motivation. But let us close with the single most persuasive piece of evidence that the Russian government knows the original Amber Room to have been destroyed. It's found in the Catherine Palace, south of St. Petersburg, where the original Amber Room spent more than two centuries. The piece of evidence is today's reconstructed Amber Room, which you can go visit, faithful in every detail to the best ability of the artisans who constructed it. It was commissioned by the Soviet government in 1979, a few years before Kuchumov's Choral Society was finally disbanded, and took a team of 40 German and Russian amber experts 24 years to complete, at a cost of many millions of dollars. Every effort was made to create as perfect a reproduction as possible, even to the point of defining 350 different shades of amber. This recreation serves a number of purposes. First, and most obviously, it shows that the Soviets were well aware that they weren't going to recover the original. Second, it draws a clear line in the sand against German claims demanding reparations for stolen artworks. And third, it pulls in tourist income and is a shining example of pro-Russian propaganda. But let us not forget another purpose it serves. It tantalizes the treasure hunters, who, despite the easily accessible facts, insist that a fabulous golden room waits for them to find it in some darkened cave. A great big golden shout-out to Skeptoid Premium members Adam Slagel, Chris Hitorori, Joe Vandenenden and Vince Laprise, and Chad Walker. Premium members support the show because they feel it's important to introduce critical thinking to a wide audience. But we still thank them with a raft of benefits, including access to the ad-free premium show with more than 10 times as many episodes, a Skeptoid USB drive with all the content we've ever produced, live video chats with me, and more. It's easy to join. Just come to skeptoid.com and click Go Premium. You're listening to Skeptoid, a listener-supported program. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com.
From PRX.